Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Finsider Radio. This is the Jake and Josh Show. I am Josh Houts, and I'm joined by the one, the only, Jake Mendel. How you doing today, Jake?
I'm good. You know, you wake up, you walk outside, it's nice, it's warm, it ain't too hot, it's an ideal temperature. You can tell training camp should be right around the corner. We're starting to see some videos start to come out by the Miami Dolphins social media teams, whether it's Josh Rosen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Tua just doing sprints to get everyone riled up, or just Jerome Baker giggling as he runs out onto the field for the first time. It's an exciting time. And with it, you know, we had a complete rundown here, ready to go, ready to shoot out some thoughts, but we got some opt-outs happening with the Dolphins, and just a day, day and roughly 4 hours, we're recording this noon on Wednesday, players have until about 4 p.m. on Thursday, I believe, to opt out of the 2020 NFL season, and as of right now, there are two Miami Dolphins players who have decided to sit out the 2020 season, and that is Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson, two receivers who we expected to kind of be, maybe not massive players on this team, but quality role players that we thought were going to be a big part of this team in 2020.
Yeah, and before we get too far into this, let's just remind you guys, if you're listening to this, please subscribe, please rate this podcast. You know, without you guys going that extra step of the way and telling us how you feel and giving us that feedback, we can't be the best Dolphins podcast that we potentially can be. So please rate, subscribe, and, you know, you have any questions or concerns, hit us both up on Twitter. But yes, these opt-outs came, and I see you're excited to talk about it. And, you know, it's pretty big news, and we've been stuck in the house and been waiting to just, you know, we've all been caged up like animals just waiting for something to happen. Basketball, baseball is now taking off. Football has started. And you mentioned those little videos, even just seeing Fitzpatrick and Tua and Rosen do these wind sprints. I mean, it gets you pumped up as a Dolphins fan because this is all we have right now. And the opt-out, we talked about this all offseason long. We mentioned the wide receiver corps and how we viewed it heading into the season. We all believed, you know, if everybody was healthy and went out there and contributed, you know, it could be one of the stronger units on the team, at least offensively. And then this happened. You know, Allen Hurns, we'll get into that a little bit. I don't know how you felt about that signing from the very beginning, but we'll get into that a little bit. But Albert Wilson, this seems to be a bigger deal. And here was head coach Brian Flores' statement on the Albert Wilson news. I support Albert's decision. I know he made it with his family in mind. I want what's best for Albert, as I do all of our players. So it doesn't sound like there's any ill will there, as there shouldn't be. You know, everyone respects these players' decisions. Everyone is in a different situation. So I have the utmost respect for Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson. As a father, as someone who has two children, I probably would also opt out of the 2020 season, if we're being completely honest. But now that we're done spitballing, let's take a step back and let's assess the situation. How do you feel about Allen Hurns, Albert Wilson, and the Dolphins receiving corps as a whole?
Yeah, and I think that's important to say, and I mean, I feel like it shouldn't have to be said, but, you know, it's a pandemic. You know, everyone wants to do what's best for them and their family at the end of the day. And that's kind of it. I mean, I'm right there with these players. I mean, if I was in their position, I already had a couple mil in the bank. I'd think long and hard about it. I don't care what percentage of people have negative side effects from this. I mean, I don't want to risk those odds if I don't have to. So I respect both of these decisions. I think everybody has to. And if you don't, I think you need to go take a long look at the mirror. And if it comes off as a way of us not feeling that way, please don't take it that way, because we're going to try to dive in here about how this mostly affects the Miami Dolphins receiving corps. But, you know, you kind of touched on it. We've spoken about this wide receiver unit quite a bit this offseason. I've said time and time again on this podcast how intrigued I am by this group, because it seems like, you know, this could be a very great group. Or on the other hand, maybe there's only two of them left next season. You know, there's really no middle ground there of what the potential could be. So over the last couple days, especially after the Hurns opt-out yesterday, I was starting to think about just, you know, target shares. I think when we think about what Preston Williams is doing over the first eight games, I mean, you say it quite a bit. He was on pace to break Jerry Rice's record for the most targets in a season as a rookie. I think that's a stat. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, you're trying to see how, you know, Devontae Parker really broke out because, you know, he started to get more targets. We saw Mike Gesicki break out because he started to get more targets. Both of those players really, really found their rhythm. After Preston Williams wasn't seeing, you know, 10 targets a game after suffering the ACL injury. Just to touch on that quick, and we can talk about this a little bit too as we're talking about the wide receiver core in a whole. Preston Williams has been cleared to practice, cleared to return. However, it was an ACL injury. And now, Albert Wilson, it might, his ACL injury might have impacted him differently, just the way he plays, the way he moves. But these players, when they come back, they aren't 100% right away, right? We didn't see Wilson really hit his stride until late in the season. So it's kind of a little bit ironic in a sense that all of a sudden, as the Dolphins lose two of their solidified veterans, let's say, we're leaning on Devontae Parker. I mean, you like let me phrase it this way. Would you believe going into the 2019 season that I told you that our receiving core, their success leans on completely healthy Devontae Parker? I mean, I wouldn't be too confident hearing that before what we saw last season. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I'd be terrified if, you know, you told me that at the beginning of the 2019 season. Thankfully, he did have that great run. You know, he had the best season in his NFL career, for being completely honest. But you looked at the Dolphins receiving core of all offseason. Again, we talked about it time and time again. And, you know, those Albert Wilsons and the Allen Hearns, those players are guys that, you know, some won on the roster. Others, you know, they can say, you know, maybe they cut Albert Wilson and save some of that money, or they could do the same with Allen Hearns. You know, these are some of those guys that were kind of middling in there, have shown some, you know, that they go out there and produce in the NFL. But at the same time, they just haven't been consistent, whether it be injury, you know. But at the end of the day, now these two guys are down, and now you're relying on guys like Gary Jennings, who, I mean, I wrote an article about him. I said not to sleep on him. We know that he's out there working out with Josh Rosen. Kirk Merritt is also working out with Tua Tagovailoa. We've heard that this offseason. You got those two guys, and you got, you know, Isaiah Ford, I'm a big fan of, and I think this is kind of going to be the guy that might be ready to step up. But you're right. I mean, you look at this receiving core, and to think that Devontae Parker is now, you kind of already knew he was that number one wide receiver, that truly elite guy, that when you see him in one-on-one coverage, you're going to give him an opportunity because he's going to go up there and make those plays. For me, it's just crazy that, you know, we still have 24 hours before these players can opt out. And we just saw within a matter of, what, 2 days, that the Dolphins receiving corps is like this huge unknown. And we knew it was already going to be an unknown, at least beyond 2020. But we all had to feel pretty good about what this unit looked like, at least on paper, heading into the 2020 season, knowing that you had all these young guys. You had these vets who have already produced. And then you had those guys like Devontae Parker and Preston Williams. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. And I think we have to talk about what veterans the Dolphins could look at now going forward. And is there any guys that you could see them maybe bringing in? I know you may not have had a chance to look at the free agent list, but people keep throwing out Antonio Brown, and Josh Gordon's out there, and Chris Hogan was reported by Alfredo Arteaga of 3 yards per carry. So there is some, you know, history there between Chris Hogan, 7-11, and this coaching staff, Chan Gailey, et cetera. But you know, we'll see. But the Dolphins are going to have to do something before the season starts, because this once great-looking unit, at least on paper, you know, took a hit with these Hearns and Wilson news.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a little scary because I think with players like Albert Wilson and Allen Hearns, there's a solidified floor. I think that we could really expect from these guys. I think it would be 500 to 600 yards. You know, let's be a little safer, I guess. We'll say 400 to 500 yards and maybe 2 touchdowns, right? And that doesn't seem like a huge total, but when you think about a quarterback throwing, you know, let's say 4,000 yards, 20 touchdowns in a season, all of a sudden that's 25% of your yards gone and roughly 10% of your touchdowns. If this receiving core led by Devontae Parker and Devontae Parker regresses to the 2018 or any time before, all of a sudden this is the worst wide receiver group in the NFL. And I don't even think it'd be too much of a debate. I think, you know, okay, we could maybe argue Green Bay is up there, but all of a sudden you're leaning on Preston Williams to come back from an ACL tear. And man, I think this is the time. I mean, I kind of maybe a little too much pushed that maybe Isaiah Ford maybe is a little concerning in terms of we haven't seen that breakout and really take advantage of what's going on. I mean, if Isaiah Ford doesn't step up at this point with the opportunity he's going to have, man, I think this year, all of a sudden, we could have maybe played another year of what if with Isaiah Ford and Jakeem Grant if, you know, everyone was healthy, everyone was here. But all of a sudden, these guys, this is the time, man. These guys have no more excuses. This is it. They have their opportunity. You look at a Chan Gailey offense that loves to throw the ball, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, whether it's Tua, they're going to have the opportunity to step in, whether it's Fitzpatrick throwing bombs, throwing darts, or Tua with the quick passes and finding those rhythm throws. I mean, this is probably their last opportunity to really show we can be consistent wide receivers at the NFL level.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I think it's going to be a very telling season given all the circumstances and just, you know, how important this is to some of these younger guys. Isaiah Ford, I think he gets a little bit more of, you know, of a leash, so to speak, because this is a guy who, yes, he's been up and down the active roster, back on the practice squad, you know, up and down, but then towards the end of the season, I mean, that those last few games just kind of stuck in my head, especially that Jets game where he almost took things over. So for me, I think Isaiah Ford does have the talent, and if I were to have to pick between Jakeem Grant and Isaiah Ford and which one of those guys I think is going to step up and be that player and fill the role of an Albert Wilson, who, you know, he is kind of a similar player to Jakeem Grant, so why can't Jakeem just step up in that sense? And then you look at Allen Hurns, and he was kind of this possession guy. Yes, he was the veteran. He was a guy that was a true number one in Jacksonville a couple years ago. You know, had a great, I think, a breakout season with Blake Bortles, if I'm not mistaken. But you got Isaiah Ford, and he's just a guy who he's a good route runner. And like you said, he has to go out there, and he just needs to prove that he can be the player that the Dolphins at least, you know, have to trust that he is now at this point. I'm a big Isaiah Ford fan, liked what he did at Virginia Tech, and I'm excited to see what he does. But now you're right. It is his time to step up, and, you know, there's no more excuses for these guys.
And, too, there were some guys who maybe didn't have as much opportunity last year, maybe none at all. I think this screams some sort of hope for someone like a Gary Jennings or Mac Hollins, two guys who have floated around a little bit. Gary Jennings, I mean, really fits that mold of both what Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns were going to try to do. I think when we spoke about the wide receivers, he's someone I think I was a little concerned about because he does play that slot possession type role, and all of a sudden Jennings will have that opportunity, because that is the what's interesting about both Wilson and Hurns opting out is while their frames are a little different, they both play the same position on the field in terms of that slot guy, that possession guy. So it's going, he's going to have the opportunity. And, you know, Kirk Merritt, I mean, that's the one guy I think he's been mentioned a couple times. I mean, he's just going to walk up more and more up that depth chart and really, really get that chance. We're going to see these undrafted guys play. And you mentioned some unrestricted free agents. And since, you know, it's been a couple of minutes since you mentioned that, I had the opportunity to kind of bring up a list here. Some names, we could bring back Danny Amendola, Demaryius Thomas, Chris Hogan, Chester Rogers, Josh Gordon, Tavon Austin, Jermaine Kearse, Ryan Grant, Jordan Matthews, Matt Slater is on that list, and Dwayne Harris are just some of the names. The one that stands out to me, actually a couple, you know, you mentioned the two slot guys. Does Tavon Austin make sense out of Cheap Deer? Chester Rogers is that same type of guy. So is Chris Hogan, but you have to kind of pick and choose with those. However, they did just, you know, I think a little while ago, they cut Ricardo Lewis. So you have to release him. Taylor Gabriel was recently released. Same with Paul Richardson in Washington. You have to wonder who they really decide to take a chance here with Eddie. Would you say you're pretty confident that they're going to try to bring someone in, or just kind of try to roll what's happening with the current roster?
For me, I think what they're going to do is they're going to sit here and they're going to wait and see how other teams, you know, play their cards. And they're on every roster. You know, there are these wide receivers that maybe they're just not going to make the roster. We talked about on previous shows due to everything going on right now with the pandemic. You know, what if this guy doesn't make the roster this year, who could have went out there in preseason and showcased that he had the abilities to make the 53-man roster? So the Dolphins could wait and see what players become available, whether it be they go after the waiver wires, which we know they love to do. They could go out there and try to make a trade before a player does get released. So there's tons of options. I don't think the Dolphins are going to panic. But I mean, we sit here and you can look down their receiving core, and there's all these young guys, you know, like a Mac Hollins. You mentioned they released Ricardo Lewis, and he's a guy that, you know, maybe they decide to bring back. There's plenty of options out there.
I mean, I mentioned that the season could lean on someone like Devontae Parker, something we weren't seeing, but take this a step further, Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki. You know, I think this is really going to have to be the Chan Gailey offense we saw a few years ago, where it was Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, and I see Gesicki and Parker as those two. Could Preston Williams obviously fit into that role and maybe even outseat one of the two? 100%. 100% that is possible. But those are the two guys I really try to lean on. Something else about a Chan Gailey offense is passing to the running backs. Something he loves to do. I think it was, you know, he had Fred Jackson, who always had roughly 50 receptions. And then Matt Forte in New York, who always had roughly 50 receptions. We got Matt Breida and Patrick Laird. I think these are two guys who can help eat up those slot targets. I think that'll be interesting to watch, too. So I think that's something we got to keep in mind as we see people like, you know, whether it, the Hurns and the Wilsons of the world opt out, I think maybe that might kind of give us a nod towards the running backs who could all of a sudden be seen in more of that slot role. Who knows? Maybe we could see Laird and Breida on the field at the same time, try to get some speed packages going. It's going to be interesting to see how Chan Gailey really prepares for a group that it's his first season. So I don't really know or think that he would really have these positions solidified for these players like an Allen Hurns and Albert Wilsons, who, you know, if you scroll through Twitter, you'll hear people say that neither of them were a lock for the 53-man roster. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I mean, it's what Flores says, it's the next man up. And there are these guys that they don't really necessarily have to bring in free agents, because there are opportunities here for this roster. But again, the concern is consistency. The concern is taking advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, and you make a great point about the running backs, because today, Jordan Howard and Matt Breida spoke to the media. I think that those transcripts will be up on the Miami Dolphins official website later this afternoon. But Breida mentioned how, you know, they ask a lot out of the running backs as far as the passing game, and he does expect to have a larger role in Chan Gailey's offense. We know Jordan Howard can also, you know, make plays out of the backfield. So really any of these guys can go out there and become targets in the passing game, and that becomes, you know, that opens things up immensely. Because like you said, they go out there with Jordan Howard and Matt Breida both on the field, you know, Gaskin, Sticks, whatever it might be. I think there's a lot of interchangeable pieces here throughout the entire Miami Dolphins roster, and I think that's why, like you said, maybe they don't go out there right away and address a veteran, because they do have all these guys, and it is this next man up mentality, and you know that's all you can do, especially in a season like we're expecting this year.
Absolutely, and I assume Albert Wilson, he just renegotiated his deal. I'm interested. I don't want to question or anything, but after renegotiating his contract, I want to say, what, a month, 2 months ago, to opt out of the season. I wonder what those conversations were like. But, hey, wish those two the best. Josh, you know, I was looking at the calendar. And, buddy, we're 5 weeks away from opening day. Does that even sound, like, realistic at this point?
Not at all. And I don't know if people could even tell from this podcast, but I think the two of us are just freaking ecstatic to be able to talk about things that, you know, isn't a fabricated Instagram battle between Michael Thomas and Devontae Parker or, you know, Stephon Gilmore. We're glad to finally have football back. And, you know, to think that it's 5 weeks away, to think that we haven't even got to see Tua in a uniform yet, I mean, that's crazy. So I hope everyone continues to social distance, wear their mask, and hopefully in 5 weeks, you know, we're talking about Dolphins football, because, I mean, that's kind of what we all want. I want to ask you this question, and it goes back to the receivers, but do you think this is the last of Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson on the Miami Dolphins?
That is an incredibly tough question.
Because I see a lot of people, and I had to look it up myself to know the details, but it's my understanding that if a player opts out, they just lose their money in 2020, and then they just, you know, pick up that contract next season. So by that, you would think Albert Wilson, Allen Hurns would technically still be under contract. And just to throw this out there, everyone continues to say Allen Hurns wasn't going to make the roster anyway. Well, that to me, that raises questions and concerns to me, because why did the Dolphins pay him if they didn't expect him to stick around?
I mean, that is a great question, and it's a great point. You don't, you know, sign someone to a new contract just to cut them, right? You obviously have a plan in place and believe they will be a part of it. I mean, instead of asking me this question, I think we really need to be asking Kirk Merritt and Isaiah Ford this question, because I think it is truly up to them. If they come in and don't miss a beat and play like the players that, you know, you think Isaiah Ford is, or how Twitter thinks Kirk Merritt could be, I think it could be the last we've seen of them. I think they both can be moved on from their contracts. I think Hurns was a lock. People who, you know, say X, Y, and Z, there's no way you give someone a brand new two-year deal just to cut them. I get that, you know, you can get out of any contract, but at least for the one season after he signed that contract, whether it was 2020 or now it would be 2021, I thought Hurns was pretty much a lock, if healthy, to be a part of the team. I think he just adds a consistent excuse me, to that wide receiver group. So I thought that was a little wonky. I thought that was a little weird. But truthfully, I think for both of them, it comes down to opportunity. Will there be opportunities for a slot receiver to rise up on the Miami Dolphins? Or are we going to be raving about the Isaiah Fords and Kurt Merritts for most of 2020 and really have them lock up those positions? I think that is basically what it's going to boil down to for these two to have their opportunity back here. You know, I'd love to see them in. I love Albert Wilson. I love the, you know, first down wave he does. I love the passion. I love the energy. I love the versatility. Allen Hurns, like I said, I think there's just a level of consistency. You see that year in Jacksonville, you know, the potential of what he can do. I think he still has that in him. But I mean, if the Dolphins have a group that's flowing with Tua, I think they're just going to keep flowing with what they have.
I've been a big Albert Wilson supporter, fan of his. And I do need to clarify, I saw someone on Twitter say, you know, neither of these guys are game changers. I take a little bit of offense to that because what we saw out of Albert Wilson in 2018, you know, before that injury, he was absolutely a game changer. You know, he single-handedly won that Chicago game. He did a bunch of other things. When he had the ball, when he was healthy, he was, you know, one of the most explosive players in football. So to say he's not a game changer, that's a little, you know, ignorant to me. Yes, he's 28 years old. You know, yes, his NFL career, like you said, is in limbo and, you know, it's uncertain from this point on. But Albert Wilson, when he was healthy early on in that 2018 season, he was a game changer. He was like the legit, when you think of a video game and those players are just unstoppable, that's what Albert Wilson did on the football field. We talked a lot about the receivers. We talked about the opt-outs. You know, there's a lot of news going on. The COVID-19 list, and this was something that I wanted to talk about a little bit. We know players are coming up and down from it. Jerome Baker was activated yesterday, like you mentioned. He was running out of the tunnel, you know, like a madman, and it just got everyone over the moon excited. Malcolm Perry and Eric Flowers are now on the COVID-19/reserve list. This does not mean that they have COVID-19, but it does mean that they came in close contact with someone who has or could have had a negative test.
Meanwhile, we mentioned him earlier, Jerome Baker is off the list, and we see him giggling like a schoolgirl, jumping out onto the field like most of us would be doing. So, I mean, it's kind of a rocky road in terms of that list, but it's just kind of hopefully once they're all in the bubble together, once they're all kind of smoothed into a routine of everyone being clear, hopefully that'll be the last we hear of the COVID-19 list, hopefully for the whole season. I know that's kind of asking too much, but that's kind of the goal. Josh, preseason's here. Usually the Hall of Fame game, I think, would be tomorrow night, the August 6th. So, I mean, we're getting really close to the football season. You know, not to brag, my birthday, as I just found out too, your daughter's birthday is August 15th. So I'm used to kind of waking up on my birthday. I mean, obviously, we can watch the games now. You pay, what, $20, and you get to watch all the preseason games. A yearly tradition for me is waking up on my birthday and watching the Dolphins-Falcons or Dolphins-Bucks highlights that they usually played on the 14th. It's just kind of how everything kind of rolled out. It's kind of upsetting. I don't get to see those traditions of those Dolphin uniforms playing in horribly rainy Southern Florida weather in middle of August. But I mean, we're kind of dealing with what we are. I did see that the Browns are streaming all of their practices, which I think is a wonderful idea. How much would you pay to watch have live streams of every single Miami Dolphins practice?
Every practice? Is that what you're saying? Every practice?
Yes.
Oh man, I'd probably pay like $100.
$100? You would? Yeah, because I was thinking.
I might pay more than that, but I'd pay $100 to be able to watch. You know, how many practices do they have this off season? Or you know, it's gonna what 20 some 30? I mean.
Yeah, 20 something. So you're probably paying like $5 to practice. I mean, and 100 doesn't sound outrageous when you have people going to sit in the melting hot bleachers and they're on like three fields far away trying to, you know, have their binoculars out, figuring out who's catching balls from who. So I think 100 is, I don't know if I'd do it or just wait for the Twitter on that.
We'd
one.
We'd split it.
Because I mean, that's just such a great thing for content. And, you know, I do love this time of the year. I love just refreshing my feed and having, you know, the beat writers arguing about who's catching balls from who missaw what was happening. Because, I mean, it's just a big dose of returning to action that's exciting. I think I would pay probably a hunch. I mean, when you think about paying $60 for a video game, I mean, that doesn't seem too outrageous, especially with nothing going on. I wish they were doing it, but I think we're going to have to settle for the Miami Dolphins social media videos. And when I say settle, I mean, it's most certainly not a bad thing because they do an outstanding job. When we had Topher on last week, he was talking about those those drone videos of Mike Gesicki catching fades in the back of the end zone. So, I mean, we're going to get some stuff either way. But, I mean, I think that would have been so cool to be able to have set up, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 cameras. I know there's a bunch of cameramen who do a wonderful, wonderful work for the Miami Dolphins. And that's the truth for probably most teams in the NFL being a multi-billion dollar industry. So, I mean, it would have been fantastic. I think it would have been a lot of fun. I think it'd be a great way for all of us to kind of come together, you know, 4 times, 5 times a week in the middle of the day and get some action out of it. But, I mean, I guess it is what it is at this point. I mean, pandemic life.
Yeah, and I guess kind of just, at least for me, kind of defined why most of us are even on Twitter. You know, we went on Twitter to follow the Beasleys and, you know, the Armandos and the Skolniks and the Hydes and the Jacksons. You know, we went on there so we could read their tweets about what's going on during training camp. I mean, that's why I jumped on there from day one back, you know, many years ago. But for me, I'd absolutely pay for it. I absolutely got to respect what the Miami Dolphins have done. I mean, I used to joke, you know, hire me. I can go on there and do a better job on your social media. Absolutely not. These guys are doing a fantastic job. The videos they're pumping out, the content they're pumping out has been, you know, as good as anyone in the NFL. So hat tip to them. Yes, we'll have to settle for that. But you do hope they at least realize, you know, fans want to see this. And, you know, like you said, fans would drive down there, be sitting in the melting sun and be like your head was pressed against the George Foreman grill, just melting there like fondue. And now with everything going on, why can't they just, you know, throw a live stream out there and let those fans that would normally be out there in attendance just get to see what's going on? Let those of us that live up here in the Northeast get to see what's going on, because this is what we have to get us through these times right now. And football's back. I'm excited. And, you know, let's just hope things continue to progress the way they are, because it's here. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to see the Tua Tagovailoa wearing his uniform and get to see a slow motion, you know, 5-yard quick slant pass to Kirk Merritt or whatever it is. It gets us all excited and thinking, you know, that's the next great Miami Dolphins, you know, tandem there. So, lots of offseason left, lots of uncertainty, but at least we have the Miami Dolphins to help take our minds off of things. Now let's just hope, again, we get that Tua Tagovailoa in his uniform, because, God, gosh darn, we've been waiting a long time for that.
And, two, right before we wrap out, the Dolphins did announce a cut that I think was probably a player that kind of the pendulum swung to both sides in terms of the ceiling and the floor, and that's Cordrea Tankersley. He was let go by the team, struggled with injuries. He made a couple plays a few years ago in the preseason, I believe it was, former third-round pick. And basically to this, all I can say is I don't know how much room there was for him in that cornerback room, especially when you look at Howard, Jones, Igbinoghene, even Nick Needham, those guys who have really established themselves for a longer period of time. But the bigger thing is, I mean, it's kind of not to be a wet blanket here, but to be a wet blanket, I mean, that's a third round pick, man. Could you, like, I'm excited to see people develop, like who have Brandon Jones. I'm excited to see Raekwon Davis develop. I'm excited these guys can look like big pieces of the team for years to come. But I mean, just as likely of them becoming great players, I mean, there is that negative side where an average NFL career is 3 years, man. I mean, and it's just kind of concerning when you kind of see these third round picks leave the door or walk out the door and the Dolphins have continued to struggle for years. I mean, those are the picks the Dolphins, if they want to be a contender for the next 5 years, if they want to gloat about how these draft picks they have, I mean, they got to hit on them. They got to get some Pro Bowlers. They got to get some Hall of Famers here, because I mean, I tried to make the case for Rashad Jones and I, in terms of the Dolphins ring of honor, and you know, people kind of chuckled at that, but I mean, that's as close as we've gotten, you know. I mean, Cameron Wake, undrafted, sure, we could talk about him, but I mean, like, we need some of these guys to really bloom into stud players. We can't have any more Tankersleys or anyone like that walking out of the door, because I mean, all, if that's the case, all these 5-11 seasons and the not in the hunt seasons, I guess, will all be for nothing.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, and seems almost like the Dolphins are better at drafting, or at least Chris Greer, in those fifth rounds. You know, you got a lot of good players, a lot of talented starters in the fifth round, opposed to, you know, in the third round, when you would hope, or, you know, scouts or Twitter experts would want you to believe that, you know, it's easier to hit on a third round pick than it is a fifth. But it hasn't seemed to be the way for the Dolphins. You know, a lot of people were excited about what Tankersley did as a rookie. He played in 17 career games with the Dolphins, started in 11. He had 35 total tackles and 7 pass breakups. So, I mean, it is what it is. Some people may have forgot Cordarrelle Tankersley was even on the Dolphins, if we're being completely honest. They also waived long snapper Rex Sun. I'm just going to call him Rex Sayonara because he's out the door now. So the Dolphins, nice. The Dolphins brought in Blake Ferguson. You can't use a sixth round draft pick on a long snapper and expect to, you know, bring in an undrafted guy and have him take that roster spot. So Blake Ferguson's back off of the reserve list. You know, that's his spot. And you got to hope for some of these guys, a Sayonara or a Cordarrelle Tankersley, that they do land or get another opportunity with another team. We also don't know how this offseason or how the 2020 season is going to affect the practice squad. I still don't know the full details on that, so I don't know if any of these players could, you know, for if some of these players are cut, if they could end up falling onto the Dolphins practice squad, not necessarily a long snapper or Cordarrelle Tankersley, a veteran, but, you know, some of these younger guys. So the Dolphins are making roster moves. It's not going to be, you know, this may be some of the first wave of them, but it certainly won't be the last.
That is absolutely the truth. Josh, you know, I'm glad we waited a day so we could touch on the Albert Wilson news. Like I mentioned at the top, we hope Wilson and Hearns the best. I hope we see him on the football field in 2021. I hope we can be on a football field in 2021. Who knows? Thank you, everyone, so much for jumping in and diving into Finsider Radio with us. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a review, leave 5 stars. It helps us all so much. Hit us up on Twitter with your questions, your comments, whatever it may be. We love chatting with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Josh can be found on Twitter at HOUTZ. I am JMendel31. And most importantly, football's around the corner. Fins up.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. The greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Dolphins number one.